You know, I hope this happens for you every single weekend, but there's some weekends that you just get done with church and you go, man, God just spoke to me that service. And I think you are in for a huge treat this weekend because I think that's going to happen to you tonight. I'm so excited to introduce our guest speaker tonight, Pastor Robert Morris. And if you were here back in August of last year, he spoke, and the response was so overwhelmingly positive that we've been working with him and asking him to come back to kick off this series, and he's graciously agreed to do that. If you weren't here last time and you don't know who he is, Pastor Morris is a lead pastor of a church called Gateway Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's just one of the largest, most influential churches in America right now. God's doing some amazing things there. God's doing some amazing things through him, and you're going to know exactly why when you hear him speak. Get your Bibles ready. He's going to dig straight in, and please help me just give a huge CCV welcome to Pastor Robert Morris. Man, so glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you. Boy, it's great to be back here at CCV. We love you guys very, very much. We're actually here all weekend. All of my elders are with me, and we're on an elders retreat. And we played golf yesterday, and we tied. So tomorrow we're going to break the tie, and so pray for me so that I can come out victorious on that. I know you know this, but you are extremely, extremely blessed to have Pastor Don Wilson, such a great man of God, a great man of integrity, and so we love you guys very, very much. All right, I want you to turn your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 13. So turn to Exodus 13 or click to Exodus 13. However you get to the Bible, and you can read your Bible off your iPhone during church, but you cannot text. The Bible clearly says, thou shalt not text during church. So, when I was here before, I shared on the principles of multiplication, and we are beginning as a church, now I'm getting to be a part of this, beginning a series, Pastor John Don will continue, called The Blessed Life. And so this message I want to bring to you is called The Principle of First. It's about putting God first in your life and first in your finances. And when God is first in our lives, everything comes in order. Everything. But when God's not first, everything is out of order. And so I want to show you the principle of first in some different ways and help us understand. And it does relate to our finances because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when we can get God first in our finances, it does a work in our hearts. So Exodus chapter 13, I know this is an Old Testament passage, but I want to remind you that 1 Corinthians 10 says that all of this was written for our instruction and our admonition. So we'll look at the principle behind what we're about to read in just a moment, okay? Exodus 13 verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, now watch these three words, it is mine. In other words, and from the Hebrew language, what he's saying is, the firstborn belongs to me. It's a phrase that you'll see recurring in the Hebrew text. The firstborn belongs to me. I'm going to show you some other things that God says, it is mine. That belongs to me. So, then look down at verses 12 and 13. He says, you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. This is very similar in the Hebrew, shall belong to God. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, and if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. In other words, you're going to lose it anyway. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Now, let me just say something about this. Here's what he's saying in essence. You give the first to me, and it's going to redeem the rest. If you'll give me the first one, the rest are redeemed. But if you won't give it to me, you're going to lose it. Any first thing given to God is never lost. But any first thing not given to God is always lost. So I have 3 points. If you're taking notes, I want you to write these down. If you're not taking notes, write these down. All right, here's number one, okay? The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Now, I know this is a long sentence. I try to have short points, so we'll leave it up for a moment so you can write it down. The firstborn, this is what we just read. The firstborn, according to Exodus 13, must be sacrificed or redeemed. Now, how do you know which to do? Well, here's what God said. He uses a donkey and a lamb, which represent an unclean and a clean animal. So let me tell you what this means. If your animal is an unclean animal, the firstborn must be redeemed with the sacrifice of a clean animal. If it's a clean animal, it must be sacrificed. Now, I'm going to say that again. I know that seems like it doesn't apply to us, but I'm going to show you in just a moment how it very much applies to a principle that is central to the gospel, all right? So if a clean animal has a firstborn, it must be sacrificed. If an unclean animal has its firstborn, that firstborn must be redeemed, bought back, with the sacrifice of a clean. Now, what in the world would that have to do with us? Well, I want you to think about this. Let me ask you a couple of questions. The Bible says that we were all born in sin. We were born sinners. We were born with a bent toward doing the wrong thing. So when we talk about being clean and unclean, let me just ask you a question. You can answer me, by the way. Were we born clean or unclean? Unclean. And I can just call all the parents as witnesses here. I can prove it to you by asking you one question. Did you have to teach your children to be bad? Or did it come naturally for them? Comes naturally because we're born with a sin nature. We have to teach them to be good. Okay, so we were all born unclean. Okay, was Jesus born unclean or clean? Clean. Okay, listen to me. Listen, this is going to shock you. It's going to blow you away. You're going to love this. Listen, the clean had to be sacrificed so the unclean could be redeemed. Isn't that good? What we just read in Exodus is actually referring to the gospel. It's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to go through this. I'm going to show you how this actually refers to tithing. Now, the word tithe means a tenth. So it's where we give, listen, this is very important, the first 10% of our income to God. And here's what God is saying about the firstborn. If you'll give me the first one, the rest are redeemed. And you have to understand, it takes faith to give the first one. God didn't say, now when your sheep has lambs, wait till your sheep has 10 and then give me one of them. And you can pick which one you give, the one you don't like, the one that's cantankerous. You know, you can do that. For some of us have many children, we already got the one picked out. You know, we'd give, okay, but God did not say that. He said, you give me the first one and the rest are redeemed. It takes faith to give the first one. It takes faith to give the first 10%. It takes faith to give to God and then pay the bills. And what God is actually trying to do is get us to put Him first. He's trying to get us to trust Him and believe that 90% with God's blessing will go farther than 100% without. And He uses this principle in Scripture. He says, you give me the first and the rest are redeemed. And how are they redeemed? They're redeemed out from under the curse. Malachi says, God says, you're under a curse. And they said, well, why are we under a curse? He said, because you're not bringing the tithe to the storehouse. You're under a curse. Now, many people have misunderstood that scripture. God is not saying that He is cursing you. He's saying, you're under a curse. I don't want you under the curse. Do you understand? We live in a fallen world. So what God is saying is, I would actually like to redeem your finances out from under the curse, but you're going to have to trust me to do it. You give me the first one, and the rest are redeemed. That's the principle of the firstborn. All right, so that's number one. Here's point number two. The first fruits must be offered. Again, you're going to see this word first all through Scripture. The first fruits must be offered. Now, stay in Exodus 13. And we'll come back there at the end of the message, all right? But let me read you a few other scriptures. Exodus 23, verse 19 says, the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring, I want to come back to that word bring, it's very important, into the house of the Lord your God. And let's talk about that for a moment. Listen, the tithe belongs to God, and it always comes to the house of God. You don't divide it up. You don't decide where the tithe goes. The tithe, according to Scripture, and this is just one. I could show you many, many scriptures that the first 10% we bring to the house of God. Deuteronomy 26 says it this way. You bring it to the place where the Lord has chosen to put his name. In other words, we don't give to the tithe to Christian university or Christian school or to a charity. We bring it to the house of God. And notice the word bring. God never uses the word give when he talks about tithing. Here's the reason. Because the tithe belongs to God. You can't give what doesn't belong to you. You can only bring it. And so we bring the tithe to the house of the Lord. And again, he's testing us to see, are we going to trust him or not in this area? And if we trust him, then it releases a blessing in our lives. Let me read you another scripture, Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Okay, here's what I'm saying here. The firstborn belongs to God. The first fruits belong to God. Okay, think about this. When Israel went into the promised land, God said, bring all of the silver and gold from Jericho into the house of the Lord. Again, this is consistent all through Scripture. But I want you to think about what he said. He didn't say, give me 10% of it. He didn't say, conquer 10 cities and then give me one of them. He said, give me the first one and the rest are blessed. That's why he asked for Jericho, because Jericho was the first. You give me the first, all the rest are blessed. By the way, when they kept just a little bit of what was consecrated to the house of God, they came under a curse. And they lost the next battle until they brought that into the house of God. So this is all through Scripture. When you understand the principle of the firstborn and the first fruits, then you understand a passage in Scripture that many people never understood. And that is the passage about Cain and Abel, going all the way back now to the beginning of time. When I was in Bible college, one of the students asked a professor, he said, why did God accept Abel's offering and he didn't accept Cain's? And the professor gave an answer that I just couldn't believe it. I never heard a professor give this answer before, and I'm really proud of him for this answer. He said, I don't know. And most professors, you know, they'll talk for 5 minutes even though they don't know, kind of like politicians. But anyway, let's not talk about that. But the point is, when you understand the principle of the firstborn and first fruits, watch how simple it is to understand why God accepted Abel's and he didn't accept Cain's. Let me read it to you. Genesis 4, verses 3 through 5. And in the process of time, now that's very important, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Notice you never see the word first. He didn't bring first fruits. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected or received Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Look how simple it is. Abel was a rancher. He brought the firstborn. Cain was a farmer. He didn't bring first fruits. He brought an offering in the process of time. Whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. You can't imagine how many believers have said to me, well, I give to God what I want, when I want. Now, they don't use those words. They Christianize it and say, I give as I feel led. Well, let me just explain something to you. When the Bible says to do it one way, see, don't tell me I love my wife when I feel led. No, the Bible says you love your wife all the time and you lay your life down for her. There is a way to do it, and there is another way that seems right to man, but the end is death. When the Bible clearly tells us how to live a blessed life, a happy life, that's what the word blessed means. It's the Greek word makarios in the New Testament, and it means happy. God wants us to have joy in our life. So he gives us these principles, and then when we ignore them, and then we get upset with God and say, well, I'm living for you, but look at all these things. So, no, we're not living for him because we're not doing it God's way. And I don't know if you've noticed about God. God not only believes his way is the best way, he believes it's the only way. So you need to understand some things about God. People say, well, why wouldn't God accept Cain's offering and he accepted Abel's? Well, here's the reason. He couldn't accept Cain's offering. I wish that every believer would study the attributes of God. The attributes of God are not things he does, but things he is. When we understand who he is, then we understand what he does. For instance, we say God loves. Well, God loves because he is love. God is love. So the reason I'm saying this is because of who he is. You may have never heard this, what I'm about to say before. There are some things God can't do. Okay? Let me tell you a couple. One of the attributes of God is the immutability of God. What this means is that God can't change. Let me tell you why God can't change. God can't change because he's perfect. If he could change, he could get better. And he can't get better because he's best. So God can't change. Let me tell you another thing about God, and this is going to shock you. I like to do this because I like to get us, you know, pondering about it and to hear the truth. So I'm going to make a statement. It's going to be shocking, but then I'll clarify it, okay? Okay. God can't think the way we think. He can't. This is the omniscience of God. Omniscience, all knowledge. That's what it means, omniscience, but it's omniscience, all knowledge. God has all knowledge. In other words, God knows everything at the same time. Now, if you think about that for a while, it'll blow a circuit for you. God knows everything at the same time. So the reason I say God can't think the way we think is because we think to figure things out. And God's not trying to figure anything out. He already knows it. Let me say it another way. Nothing has ever occurred to God. God has never said, you know, just occurred to me. I just thought of something I've never thought of before. He's never done that. So there are some things God can't do. He can't change. He can't think like we think. As a matter of fact, even when I said he can't think like we think, you might have even thought of a scripture. Hey, God has thoughts. Uh-huh. But that scripture actually backs up this attribute. Here's what it says. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think like you. As the heavens are above the earth, my thoughts are above your thoughts. And, by the way, he also says, my thoughts toward you are for good, not for evil. That's why he sent his son for us. Okay, so God can't change. He can't think like we think. But let me tell you something else God can't do. God can't be second. He can't. This is called his preeminence. Preeminence, the preeminence of God, means that he is above all, he's higher than all, he's before all, he's first of all. God's first. He'll never be second. The reason God couldn't accept Cain's offering is because it wasn't a first offering. He only accepts first, and he only can. That's all it is. Okay, let me give you an illustration. Again, I told you we're playing golf with the elders, so let me give you a golfing illustration. If God plays 18 holes of golf, his score will be 18. Because if God hits the ball, it's going to go in the hole. He's first. He's perfect. So the firstborn belongs to God. First fruits belong to God. First fruits must be offered. Firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Here's number three. The tithe must be first. The tithe must be first. And again, the word tithe comes from a Hebrew word, which means tenth or 10%. Let me read you a scripture, Leviticus 27:30. And all the tithe of the land. By the way, do you see the word all? You know what this Hebrew word for all means? All. Okay. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. This is the same Hebrew word, which means belongs to God. Does not belong to us. It belongs to God. It is holy, which the word holy means set apart. It is set apart, set aside to the Lord. Belongs to God. Okay, so let me give you an illustration. Let's say that you own a landscape company. And I call you and say, hey, I want some landscaping done around my home. And so you come and you give me an estimate. And you say, okay, Pastor Robert, let me just let you know. This would be all the materials. This would be all of my labor. These are all of my costs, my expenses for the job. And then my profit will be $1,000. This is what I'm actually going to pay myself in salary. Because a lot of people who own their own business say, well, how do I tithe? Whatever you take out of your company as salary, that's your tithe. That's your income. I understand you have expenses over here. But whatever, you got to report something. Whatever your income is, that's what you tithe on. And when you take it out, you give the first 10% to God. And so if you say, my income, my profit would be $1,000 after all this. So at the end of the job, I pay all the costs, all the expenses, all the labor, all that. And then I give you $1,000. And let's just say that I do it in cash. I give you 10 $100 bills, okay? Now I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and let me just let you know that just a couple of math questions, so 50% of you can tune out right now. And some of you are even thinking, 50%. Am I okay? So, all right, I understand some people are good at math, some are not. Numbers actually add up in my mind automatically. They just happen for me. I'm good at math, and my wife is not, by the way. She thinks 25% off means we save money. But anyway, all right. So, I probably need to talk to Pastor Don and get some marital counseling. But anyway, you have 10 $100 bills in your hand. You have $1,000, all right? And tithe is 10%, okay? So, how much, if you have $1,000, how much is the tithe? $100. They're the math people. The rest of you are like, okay, all right. So, and that's okay, because you're good at things that I'm not good at, okay? So, all right, so it's $100. Now, here's the second question. Number one is, how much is tithe? It's $100. Okay, here's the second question. You have 10 $100 bills in your hand. Which one is the tithe? Yeah, you're saying that because you're listening, and I'm glad you're listening. But, okay, how do you know which one's the first? Let me tell you. It's the first one that leaves your hand. That's the first one. In other words, if you go home now and you say, okay, I'm going to set aside some for the mortgage, some for the car, and some for groceries, and here's God's part. No, that's not God's part. You gave God's part to the mortgage company. And listen to me carefully. The mortgage company does not have the power to bless your finances. And by the way, you ought to know that after the last few years that we've had. Okay. Don't give God's portion to the mortgage company. When you give God the first 10%, he says, I'll bless the rest. 90% with God's blessing will go farther than 100% without. So here's what we do. We say, God, here is your part. Here's the first one. The first one I'm giving to you. Now I'm going to set aside some for this, set aside some for this. Here's what a lot of people though end up doing. Okay, I've got to pay this. I've got to pay this. I've got to pay this. Oh, I don't have enough left over for God. Well, can I just tell you something anyway? God wouldn't receive it anyway. Because he never receives leftovers. He can't. He can't. He's preeminent. Whether you think he is or not, he is. See, God is not who we think he is. He is who he is. And he is the preeminent ruler, sovereign Lord of the universe. And he only accepts first. And he only can accept first. So there are so many people who are not being blessed because they're not giving God the first portion of their income. And God so wants to bless. And I have hundreds, maybe thousands of testimonies of people that begin to do this, and immediately everything changed in their life, not just their finances, everything, marriage, family, health, relationships, everything. Because when God's first, everything falls into place. Doesn't mean we don't go through problems, but it means God takes us through those, and everything works for our good when we go through those. There was a guy in our church a while back. I'm talking about putting God first. And the Lord said to him, I'm talking to you. Just like that, I'm talking to you. And he said, well, Lord, you're first in my life. And he said, not in finances. He said, you've never tithed. You give whatever you want, whenever you want. So he said, I got convicted. So he said, I went home, and I set the tithe up as an automatic withdrawal. So I couldn't, fudge on it. I just set it up. So every time I got paid, the tithe went to the church immediately out of my account. And he said, let me just tell you, I can't tell you, Pastor, immediately the peace I had. He said, we had frustration in our home. Good kids, good marriage, but just confusion and frustration, and we were at each other. He said, it stopped immediately. Stopped immediately. And he said, it worked. It was amazing. All of a sudden. And this was in September, about a year and a half ago. All right? In October, they came to him and they said, we're going to eliminate your department and your position. And he said, here's what I thought. I thought, as soon as they said it, I thought, wonder what God has now. And he said, all my life I've lived in fear financially. And when I began tithing, immediately the fear and the worry went off me because I thought, God's going to take care of me. So he thought, I wonder what God has. And he said, and then God gave me an idea for a business. And now think about this. He said to his company, I have an idea for a business. They said, what is it? So he told them about it. You know what they said? Can we invest in it? This is the company that's firing him. They gave him, on December 31st, his job ended a little over a year ago. January 1st, he started his new company. They invested in his new company and gave him 1 year's salary, full salary and benefits, a year. So he starts it on January 1st, a year ago. This December, past December 31st, he sold it for $1.6 million in a year. And he sends the tithe, the first fruits, to me and writes this letter. He says, against the advice of my accountant, which I might fire, I'm sending the first fruits. Because I understand this principle now. And it's changed everything in my life. Please hear me. God can do a lot more with your business and your income than you can. He is much smarter than you are. I promise you. And I am not legalistic about this. The first check I write, every time I get paid, goes to the church. Over 25 years now I've been doing this. And I'm not legalistic about it. By the way, God is not a legalistic God. I know a lot of people think he is because he did give us the law. But here's what the Bible tells us about that. Two reasons God gave the law. Number one, to show us the moral standards or moral absolutes of God. In other words, if you want to know if he's for or against something, you read the law. If you want to know if he's for or against adultery, you read the law. By the way, he's against it, okay, just so you know. And the only reason he's against it is because it hurts people. Please hear me. God is not a prude. He is not a prude. He's against, the reason he's against sin is because sin hurts people and he loves people. That's the only reason, okay? But God gave this law for two reasons. This is New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Romans, Corinthians, Peter. Anyway, all right, so it tells us this, all right. Here are the two reasons. One, to show us the moral absolutes of God. Here's the second reason a lot of people don't know that God gave the law. To frustrate us, to bring us to Christ. In other words, God said, okay, you want to be perfect? Let me tell you what perfection is. And if you think about it, if you don't think the law is frustrating, read Leviticus. There is a whole chapter on what you have to do if you get a scab. And I can just see the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit coming up with all these things. Let's say that if this happens, they have to wait 7 days before they can go to church. No, say 10 days. No, say 14. They'll never do 14. Say 14. So that one day we would come to God and say, I can't do this. And God would say, that's great. Jesus already did. I just want you to come to Jesus. That's what I want. If you want to see what perfection looks like, that's what it looks like. I don't want you to be perfect. I just want you to come to Jesus, who is perfect, and live the perfect life for you. So I am not a perfectionist or a legalist about the tithe, although I give it first. Here's what I mean by that. Let's say that I get paid, and then I sit down to give the tithe to the church, and I notice that Debbie's gone to the grocery store that day. I don't say to her, oh, that's great, sugar, we're cursed. We're cursed because, you know, the first check you gave to Fry's, and so now we're cursed for the next 2 weeks. No, I'm not a legalist, and God's not a legalist, but I am telling you that God looks at your heart. And so every time you get paid, where's your heart? And your heart, listen carefully, because the Bible says where your treasure is, now Jesus said this, by the way, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. I can tell you where your heart is if you show me your check register. Where does the first check go after you get paid? Okay, let me show you one more thing here, and then we're finished. If you look back at Exodus 13, we stopped at verse 13. Look at verses 14 and 15. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? In other words, this is about giving the firstborn to God. That you shall say to him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, Therefore, this is very important. This is the reason that I'm doing this. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Okay, here's what God is saying. You're going to do this, and one day your son is going to get old enough that he's going to ask you why you're doing this. And when he does, I want you to tell him why you give me the firstborn. And it's because I delivered you from bondage, from being slaves. Okay? Everything you have comes from me. Now, let's think about this. The son, when he's young, he runs into the house. He says, Daddy, Daddy, the sheep is having a lamb. It's her first one. Oh, great. And so the family runs out to the barn, and they, oh, the miracle of life. Oh, look how precious. Oh, look, he's standing up. Oh, and then the dad grabs the lamb, cuts his throat. And, of course, the son's watching this. You know what he's thinking, don't you? Don't mess with dad. I don't know what that lamb did, but I'm not doing it. And then the son gets a little older, and he starts understanding a little bit of ranching, and they're in this business. So one day, you know, the father comes in, and the son says, Dad, can I talk to you? I've been going over the books, and, you know, you asked me to kind of learn the business. And, you know, Dad, you might not even know you do this. But you have a bad habit, and every time one of our animals has a firstborn, kill it. And Dad, we're in the ranching business, and I figured you killed 276 animals last year. I've been going over, and I just wondering, why do you do this, Dad? And he said, when he asks you, you sit him down and you say to him, son, I need to tell you something about our family that you don't know. We weren't always in the ranching business. We didn't own any animals. We didn't have any land. Son, we were slaves. But God, with a mighty hand, delivered us. Therefore, I gladly give to God the firstborn of all of my increase. Okay, now, this is written 4,000 years ago. This happened to me. Almost the same thing. I was paying the bills. And what I did was I'd write the tithe check first, and then I'd put it over to the side, and then I would pay the rest of the bills. Now, for you young people, we used to have pieces of paper called checks. Okay. So anyway, I'd written the tithe check first, I put it over to the side, and then I was paying the rest of the bills. And my son came in, and he's kind of old enough now to understand numbers and, you know, things like that. And he looked at the tithe check, and he said, Dad, why do you give so much money to the church? And I remembered this passage. And I actually set him on my lap, and I said to him, son, I need to tell you something about Daddy that you don't know. Daddy wasn't always a Christian. And son, I'm not proud of this, but Daddy used to be a very, very bad man. But God, with a mighty hand, delivered your daddy. Therefore, I gladly give to God the first of all of our income. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just want to ask you to pray a prayer in your heart right now. It's real simple. I just want you to just, not out loud, just in your heart, just say, God, what are you saying to me through this message? Just ask him, Lord, what are you saying to me through this message? And I know that many, many people struggle with this. But I want to encourage you, do it God's way. See what happens. God wants to bless you. I promise you. He wants to rebuke Satan from your life in so many areas: family, marriage, business, health. Step out. Step out in faith. Begin giving God the first of your increase and watch what God does. Lord, I pray that you would take the truth of your scripture, and Lord, would you allow this truth to go deeply into our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.